Ephesians chapter 3. I would mention to you to continue to pray for Brother Jim Abels. Jim has been undergoing kidney dialysis treatments, and I haven't talked to him this week, so I don't know the status of that. I hadn't heard from Derek, but be praying for him. I also continue to pray for Bob Stanley, who is continuing to have problems with his legs and so forth and getting around. And Wilma as well. That's a hard situation. They live in a split four-year house, and it's hard to get up and down. And so remember them in your prayers as well. All right. For those that have joined us over the Internet, we appreciate you doing so. We always appreciate having people on the online listening. We've been broadcasting from home on Thursday nights when we're not going to Kentucky. And 2 weeks ago, we had, I think it was 22 people. I think it was the largest number we ever had signed on a Thursday night. Many of those were couples. And so the Internet ministry continues to grow. And we praise the Lord for that. And it's always good to hear from people out there. If you are listening in and you ever have questions you'd like for me to answer or subjects you'd like to deal with, we have a link on the website there to our email, and we'd love to hear from you from time to time. Just let us know that you're listening, and we certainly appreciate that. I knew there was one other thing, and I'll cover that at the end of the message. Oh, don't let me forget. It's about the flood victims in Louisiana. We need to take a vote on something about that. But at any rate, we won't do that at this time. For those that have joined us over the Internet, I'll mention to you that I'll be cutting the message a little bit short this morning because we need to have a meeting 10 or 15 minutes after, before 12, and don't like to hold people over, and so we'll do that. And that's I think I was trying to cheat them, I want to get your money's worth. So I'll be quitting a little bit early because of our meeting. And for those that are online, I would mention to you that if you have not made reservations for the conference and you would like to come, we still have rooms available, and we would love to have you. And so just let us know by email, or if you're on Facebook, you can send us a Facebook message. But either way, we would love to have you for our conference. If you can't be here, we will be streaming all of the messages live, and we'll start on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Someone had asked me about the schedule, and I have not given assigned preaching slots yet, not knowing who all the preachers are going to be. But if you'll tune in at Friday night at 7, we'll have information there on the chat roll about who the speakers are and when they're going to be speaking as we go through the conference. So if you can't be here, be sure to tune in online on Friday night at 7 o'clock. All right, in Ephesians chapter 3, for just a short time this morning, I want to talk to you about the dispensation of the grace of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes to the church here at Ephesus, and he says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Now, there's some interesting statements that Paul makes here in relation to the dispensation of the grace of God. And for those that rightly divide the word of truth, it's hard for us to imagine that there are people who have never heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. And yet there are numerous people that if you went up to them today and talk to them, you would find that they have not heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. And if you begin to tell them about that, they might look at you kind of funny and think you're kind of off your rocker or whatever. And yet, it is clear in the Scriptures that there is a dispensation of the grace of God. Now, when you start talking about dispensations, people sometimes want to argue about what that is, because usually when I address the dispensations, I think about those as time periods. Others say, no, it doesn't have anything to do with time periods. It has to do with what is being dispensed. Well, whatever is being dispensed during a period of time. And Paul says that there's going to come a time when the fullness of the Gentiles is going to come in. So there must be, I know there was a beginning of the dispensation of the grace of God, and there was an ending. There had to be a beginning because Paul said it was given unto him. Therefore, we know that the dispensation of grace could not have existed prior to the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. Now, these things are simple, and they're words on the page, and when people reject these, they're not rejecting me, they're not rejecting other preachers. What you're rejecting is the Word of God. And many times people have a hard time reconciling the traditions of the religion they've been in all their life with what the Bible says. I was confronted with that years ago. I talked with people this past week that were confronted with that. And the meeting I was in, we talked a lot about some folks there that were more interested in the tradition and the name than they were teaching sound doctrine. And so it's important that we understand when we're talking to people, dealing with people and so forth, that there are people who have not heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Paul said, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, throughout the ages, throughout the years, there have been those that have tried to distinguish the dispensations, and most of the time, those that do so say there are 12 dispensations. The two I'm most familiar with, or maybe the three, would be Bullinger. He wrote the Companion Bible, and he said there were 7 dispensations. E.I. Schofield, who wrote the Schofield Bible, or the notes in the Schofield Bible, said there were 7 dispensations. Clarence Larkin said there were 7 dispensations. But if you lay all of those dispensations they have side by side, you'll see that they differ in what those dispensations were and when they started and so forth. Not major differences, but there are differences. And so I don't generally go back and try to establish 7 dispensations simply because 7 is the name of the number of perfection. But I do see that there is a distinct revelation given to Paul that had never been given before. And I know that there's a difference in law and grace. And I know there's a difference in the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. And so, regardless of whether there's 7 or 2, the fact is that we Gentiles today in 2016 are in the dispensation of the grace of God. And because we're living in this dispensation, we need to know the things that God says that pertain to this dispensation. Now, the first thing that's important that I've already mentioned there briefly is that this dispensation was given to the Apostle Paul, and it was not given to anybody prior to the Apostle Paul. That's why Paul says back in Romans chapter 11 that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. In Romans 11, Paul is talking about the things that in regard to Israel, and he says there in verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." So there was a particular office. There was a position. And that position was filled by a man named Saul at the time. And later his name was changed to Paul. I didn't do that. That wasn't my idea. God did that. And God made Paul the apostle of the Gentiles. He said, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. If you look over in Romans chapter 15, Paul distinguishes between the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth and the ministry that had been given to him by revelation from Jesus Christ. Notice what he says there in Romans chapter 15, Verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now notice. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So Jesus Christ, Paul says, was a minister to who? To the circumcision. A minister of the circumcision. In verse 16, Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So there's no mistaking the fact that the dispensation of the grace of God did not exist prior to Paul, and that Paul was given by revelation that special dispensation. And it's a period of time in when the gospel of the grace of God is being dispensed by those that believe the truth and know the truth. So Paul is the apostle of grace. He is the apostle of the Gentiles. He also says something very important there in verse 2 and 3 of Ephesians chapter 3. Well, in verse 3, he says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now, if you don't divide anything else in the Bible, there's two things you definitely need to divide for the sake of clarity in the Scriptures. I want you to look at two verses, Romans chapter 16 and Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3 and Romans 16. In Acts 3, Peter is preaching, and he says there in verse 18, Acts 3:18, Peter and the 11 are there at Jerusalem. They're preaching this good news that Christ has been raised from the dead. Their Messiah has been raised. And the one that was going to bring redemption to the nation of Israel was truly the Son of God, proven by his death, burial, and resurrection. And he says there in verse 18, but those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Peter didn't really learn all of that until Luke chapter 24, when Christ opened their eyes to the Scriptures. And then he understood that all those Old Testament prophecies applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Now notice, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So Peter is in effect saying, what I'm telling you is not anything new, other than the fact that it wasn't revealed during Christ's earthly ministry because he was to die. But Peter said, the things that we're saying unto you are things that were spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Well, then they were not a mystery, were they? But when Paul writes Romans chapter 16, verse 25, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So what is this mystery information that Paul had? What was this mystery that was given to the Apostle Paul? Well, Paul speaks about seven or eight different mysteries in his epistles. The doctrine of the rapture in 1 Corinthians 15 is spoken of as a mystery. There's the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the faith, and so forth. And Paul addresses each one of those mysteries. But he also, many times, just talks about the revelation of the mystery. And that has to do with the body of truth, I believe, that was given to Paul that was not spoken since the world began. Well, then what would that be? Well, it wouldn't simply be the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Go back, if you will, to Ephesians again. in Ephesians chapter 2. Before we read there, let's go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For those here in the auditorium, you see these verses behind me all the time, but for those that are listening over the internet or on the radio program, these are very important passages in regard to what Paul preached. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So you see, you have the gospel presented here, and Paul said that good news is how that Christ died for our sins. And keep in mind that when he said that, that was an all-inclusive message. And that's what I wanted you to read in Ephesians 2. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh," how? "By the blood of Christ." By the blood of Christ. Now, I want you to go back with me, and I want to look at a couple of verses quickly, because this is very important in relation to what Paul is saying to these Ephesians. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ sends out the 12. And when he sends out the 12, he tells them in Matthew 10:5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, then there was a very specific group of people to whom the 12 were sent, and it's called the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As a matter of fact, over in Matthew chapter 15, in Matthew 15, there's a woman that comes to Jesus Christ and is wanting him to heal her daughter. And notice what he said in verse 24. We're not going to read the whole passage, but Matthew 15:24, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus Christ himself says, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Thus he sent the 12 to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as they went preaching, they were preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, in verse 21. This passage is in regard to the woman at the well that you hear talked about a good bit. Notice in verse 21, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Now, think about all those verses in the context of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it is obvious that Jesus Christ said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's why Paul, by the authority and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Paul didn't make that up. That's laid out in your Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when Jesus Christ sends them forth in Acts chapter 1, he says, go to Jerusalem, and then Judea, then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. So somebody says, well, wait a minute. The Great Commission said go and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, he did, but there was an order that had to be followed. That's why Peter, when he was in Acts chapter 10, was asked to go to the house of Cornelius, he said, it's an unlawful thing for me to go to a man of another nation. So God had to supernaturally reveal to Peter that it was all right to go to them out of the order that had been specified. Now, with all of that in mind, think about what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember. That's an interesting way to start. In other words, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that there was a time when you would have been without hope and without God in the world. Why is that important? Because we should always thank God for the fact that we are in the dispensation of the grace of God, and that when he died on that cross, the salvation was provided for all men. He died for the sins of the entire world. And when Paul was given the revelation of the mystery, he said Paul told Timothy, he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So it's important that people realize that today, because in time past we were Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, the flesh made by hands. You see, before the promises were to the circumcision, Jesus Christ, a minister of the circumcision, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. You see, the great and glorious truth of the gospel, folks, is not only how we're saved, but who that salvation was extended to. Through the Apostle Paul, salvation, the door of salvation was open to all men. So that today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, there's only one gospel, and that's the gospel of the grace of God. It's called the gospel of Christ and several other things. But Paul only preached one gospel. He said in Ephesians chapter 4 that there's only one baptism, one Lord, one faith, and on he goes. All of those are truths that pertain to us today in the body of Christ, which Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I was talking to a man this past week down there at the church where I was preaching. And he said that when he was growing up in the church he was in, he was taught that there was no spiritual body, that the Baptist church was the body of Christ. And I guess that's the Baptist bride doctrine or whatever. But he said he was a grown man before he ever heard that there was the body of Christ. Think about that. No wonder Paul said, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Folks, people out there in the religious world, by and large, are not being taught the Word of God. They're being taught the traditions of men. And if you don't believe that, just turn on the radio, turn on the TV, and listen and see what's coming forth. We're not the only ones that preach the truth. I'm not saying that. There's other churches that distinguish between dispensations. Some may start the church in Acts 2 or other places, but we're not the only ones that understand dispensational truth. But the multitudes of the religious world do not understand it, and many, when they're shown it, reject it and and hate it. They do. They believe it's a damnable, dangerous doctrine. Well, I've never had anybody that takes that position sit down and try to explain to me the verses where Paul talks about the dispensation of the grace of God. It is a real entity. And Paul was that apostle of the Gentiles. Paul was the apostle of grace. Paul was given the gospel of grace. And today we are living in the dispensation of grace. And the one thing that we have to remember, always and foremost, is that today God is not dealing with the church, the body of Christ, in the same way He did with Israel. God always dealt with Israel on the basis of miracles, signs, and wonders. That which you could see and feel and touch and experience. Paul said, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so we today in the church, the body of Christ, in the dispensation of the grace of God, realize that salvation is by grace through faith, apart from the works of the law, apart from the deeds of the flesh, and there is nothing that we can do to ever merit our salvation. You see, in Ephesians chapter 2, before Paul makes that statement, wherefore remember, he says there in, well, look in verse, let's just start in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who, and I love those two words. I love the way that's put, but God. You see, Paul tells us what we were and what our place was as far as walking according to the prince of the power of the air. And he didn't say, but you changed your behavior. But you came out or did anything. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And notice what he says. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You see, verse 7 could never come to pass if there was anything we had to do in our flesh to bring about our salvation. Think about that. He said that there's going to come a time in the ages to come. People always, you know, want to talk about what are we going to be doing in heaven. And I have a standard answer. I don't know. I don't know everything we're going to be doing in heaven. I know one thing we're going to be in heaven, and that is we're going to be an example, a trophy, if you will, of God's grace. We're going to put on display God's grace. He said that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The very fact that you and I show up in heaven is going to declare the grace of God. Because you see, he chose a people back there in Genesis chapter 12. And his desire was that through those people, he would bring in a kingdom upon this earth where he would rule and reign in righteousness. And they failed. I believe if there are multiple dispensations, that every one of them prove one thing. That no matter how God deals with man, man is always a failure. And that's why we should be appreciative of God's grace. Because we live in a dispensation when there's nothing required of us but faith in what Christ did. And we can trust in that. And he goes on to say there in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So I would ask each one of you here, I know everybody in here has heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Most everybody listening over the internet, unless there's some new folks today, have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. But I would ask you listening over there by radio, have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? And more importantly, have you heard how that Christ died for our sins? And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day? Because that is the most glorious truth that has ever been proclaimed on planet Earth. And it's the only truth whereby you as an individual can be saved. It is not by your good works. It is not by joining the church. It's not by repeating the prayer. It is not by being baptized. It is by trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ plus nothing and receiving the free gift of salvation, believing that Christ did die for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And when you place your faith in him and receive that free gift of salvation, then and only then, by grace, are you saved. You see, there is not universal salvation. Salvation is for those that believe. And God has not chosen certain ones to believe and certain ones not to. If you will believe, God will save you. I hope that you have heard of these things, and if you haven't, get in your Bible and read and study these things that are written by our apostle, the Apostle Paul, in Romans through Philemon.